Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
I will sing a new song.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all towns until he came to Caesarea. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning. Please be seated. When our rector, Reverend Pamela, asked me to give today's sermon, I admit to having felt some anxiety, maybe even some fear. I'm the type of person, after all, who gets nervous coming up here just to give the announcements. I've only recently become comfortable speaking in front of crowds after 5 years of public school teaching, and I've never officially preached in my life. In situations like this, I remind myself that even Moses had a fear of public speaking. My Lord, I have never been eloquent. He says, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I always take comfort in God's reply. I will teach you what you are to speak. As I began to study today's scripture readings, I realized that God was teaching me what to say, but he was doing so through scripture. and any remaining doubts I had, any fears that I was feeling, all but vanished as I began to appreciate that I would be crafting a sermon based on some of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus is sitting with his disciples at the Last Supper. He is saying and doing all he can to prepare his closest friends for the hardships and the persecutions that await them after he's gone. Amid their confusion and concern, their fear and their anxiety, Jesus explains to them that he is like the center of a grapevine, and anyone who abides in him will be like one of the branches. They'll be connected to Jesus forever, and he will be the source of their spiritual nourishment for all eternity. He also tells them that if they abide in him, they can ask for whatever they wish, and it will be done for them. This gospel passage in isolation does much to emphasize the divine generosity of God. God gives us everything, and he asks for relatively little in return. One of the things he does ask of us is that we abide in his Son. But how exactly do we abide in Christ? This is an extremely loaded question, and one that could be potentially answered in a lot of different ways. Some Christians argue that abiding in Christ is as simple as being baptized and professing one's faith that Christ is the Messiah. In fact, one of the many things that Christians disagree about has to do with whether good works bring about salvation or whether it is enough to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. John, the traditional author of two of our readings today, would probably argue that this is an unproductive way of looking at this question. Now, it is true that the first letter of John says the following: God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. Simple, right? So long as someone confesses out loud that Jesus is the Son of God, then it must be the case that they automatically abide in him. Not exactly. Verbal endorsement of the idea that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God is not enough. And like most verses in the Bible, it's generally a good idea to read the full passage before making a final opinion. While John does say that those who confess the divinity of Jesus ultimately do abide in God, he also says this: whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. He goes on to argue that because God is love, those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. So yes, having faith in the fact that Jesus is God's Son, and all of the beautiful complexity and mystery that entails, is ultimately how we stay connected to God. But demonstrating this faith is not as simple as verbalizing it. To abide means to live by, meaning we must live by our faith, not just confess it, not just proclaim it. What John is saying is that when we show love to our fellow humans, to our brothers and sisters, we are making a God that we cannot see, a God that we can nevertheless know. We're actually making God come alive in a way similar to Jesus when he walked the earth and physically embodied God's divine love. Now, unlike Jesus, we are not perfect images of God's love, but we are each called images of God nonetheless. And this is what living as true, albeit imperfect, images of God entails: loving others as God loves us. When we love others, we make an invisible God visible. So no, it isn't enough to say we believe in Jesus if we aren't sharing his love with others. We aren't actually rooted in Christ the way the branches of a vine are rooted in its center if the fruits of that vine, gifts of love, charity, compassion, and forgiveness, are not being shared particularly with those we might not like so much. My friends, abiding in Jesus isn't as simple as going to church every Sunday and reciting the Nicene Creed. Abiding in Christ requires loving God, and loving God requires loving others. As a concept, this sounds simple enough. But as every human being sitting in this room can attest to, loving others, even loving those closest to us, is not always easy. Myself and 5 dedicated co-workers teach for the state preschool program at an elementary school in Woodland. Many of these young children, ranging in age from 3 to 4, exhibit early signs of autism. Others struggle with managing intense anger and sometimes violent defiance. Ask one of us how hard it can be to love a child who's red in the face, trying with all their tiny might to land a punch or sink their nails into your skin. Ask someone who's terrified by the state of our country how hard it is to love those who vote or think differently than they do. Ask a child who lost their entire family to a missile explosion how hard it is to love the country responsible. But loving others, especially in situations where it seems futile, is the exact kind of love that mirrors the sacrificial love of Jesus. Imagine how hard it must have been for him to love humanity after we put him to death on the cross. And yet he still pleaded, "For God, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We are called not just to believe in the power of this love, but to imitate and embody it. The real test of our abiding in the vine comes when we face situations where loving is hard. And fear, like the kind I spoke of earlier, can be one of those things that impedes our ability to love. Fear has the power to stop us doing even those routine acts of love we perform daily, like going to work or doing whatever it is we do to keep our communities happy, healthy, educated, and looked after. I bring up the challenges associated with love not to discourage us or make us feel ashamed when we fall short, but to remind us that faith in the power of God's love will always be able to cast out fear. And I felt that fear leave me when I prepared for this sermon. At yesterday's Fearless Faith Revival in Roseville, I was privileged to see the work being done at the parish level to fight injustice and to protect our planet. This is the work that was made possible by courage, because loving can so often be an act of courage. Each of us will fall short in this endeavor to love others the way Christ loved us. Experiencing fear is, after all, part of what makes us human. In those moments when we find the courage to place our fear on Christ's shoulders, we prove to ourselves and to others that love always has the power to drive out fear. And what remains is a newfound confidence in ourselves that we can do what God calls each of us to do each and every day. Moments like these are when God's love is perfected in us, meaning his love is made wholly manifest in this world. And even when we succeed in bringing God's love to life, Jesus warns us that we, as fruit-bearing branches, will still be pruned. Even when we're doing everything right, we'll still face things like hardship, sadness, loss, and even trauma. But God does this so that we may bear even more fruit later on. This isn't punishment, but preparation for the life after this one. A perfect and everlasting union with God, predicated on love, his truest essence. Here is how Jesus summarizes the nature of this relationship. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is the awesome power of God's love. And when we find the courage to love others, even those we find difficult to love, God is glorified in us. And we are worthy of being called his disciples. Loving others makes an invisible God visible. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us join our hearts and voices together as we pray for the church and for the world.
Jesus, abundant vine of life, bless all who give their lives in service to your church and who walk with us through sometimes fallow fields and barren orchards as we seek the joy of knowing you and sharing that knowing with others. We pray especially for our Bishop Megan, our Rector Pamela, and all our clergy, staff, and lay leaders. O God of abiding love,
hear our prayer.
Jesus, abundant vine of life, prepare our souls to be the fertile soil that will bring forth the harvest of your love, justice, and peace. Teach us to see, know, and nourish all people as our beloved siblings, companion branches in God's holy vineyard. O God of abiding love,
hear our prayer.
Jesus, abundant vine of life, comfort and heal all who are poor in health and spirit, and grant energy to all who give them care. We now join our hearts together to pray for all on our parish prayer list.
We pray for peace in all areas of the world experiencing armed conflict, and especially Gaza and Ukraine. For all those affected by severe storms in the southern and central plains states. And we pray for our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, for Michael L., Garda J., Carol G., Mary H., Susan, David S., Doug and Joanne W., Mark B., Nicholas B., Kathy W., Susan and Jim W., and Steve H. I invite you to add your own intercessions at this time, either silently or aloud. Janet.
O God of abiding love,
hear our prayer.
Jesus, abundant vine of life, fill us with comfort and hope as the souls of those we love are sent ahead to live in your eternal presence. We pray for those who have died and those who mourn. O God of abiding love,
hear our prayer.
Living God, we ask that you prune detachment and sin from our hearts to cultivate strong, dynamic, and fruitful branches that flourish as we abide always in you. We ask this through Jesus, our true and perfect vine, and the Holy Spirit, our wisdom guide, who together with you live and reign as one God forever and ever. Amen. The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. It's so good to have all of you here this morning. We have a representative from the vestry who is here to offer announcements. And before Jim starts, I just think we should embarrass Anthony a little bit because this was his first Sunday. It was a lovely sermon. Jim.
I'm Jim Jordan. I'm a relatively new member to the vestry. Last week you heard from Ben Eustace Guthrie, who's the vestry's youngest member. I'm, well, the token octogenarian. This is a season of celebrations. As a review of the announcements in the yellow sheet will tell you, we're still basking in the celebration of Easter, and then from yesterday, many of us were at the Diocesan Fearless Faith Revival, celebrating God's love that Anthony so eloquently talked about. May 19th is Pentecost, when the Easter season culminates with the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit, speaking to an international crowd in their native languages. The celebration here at St. Martin's will include the telling of the gospel in our many languages. And you are invited to share in this by volunteering to read a line of the gospel in whatever language you are comfortable. Let the church office know if you're interested. We're also invited to celebrate Pentecost wearing red. And we're asking you to share your favorite cupcakes or their equivalent in whatever your culinary language at coffee hour. And finally, we're celebrating Pentecost with a family gathering for families and their children, a pizza party after the service. Then on Sunday, June 2nd, we'll have another day of celebration. There will only be one service at 10 o'clock when we'll be celebrating graduations from high school, community college, university, or other schools. If you or your loved ones are among the graduates, please let the office know. Afterwards, there will be a ministry fair, a time to celebrate the accomplishments of our many ministries. The ministry fair will also invite you to consider how God is calling you to use the talents that God gave you. And finally, we're celebrating each other with a place at the table, sharing potluck meals and reinforcing connections within our congregation. If you'd like to host one of these potlucks, please let the office know. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And I will just reinforce that the place at the table is being reshaped and reimagined a little bit. So we're hoping that it actually increases participation and we have more chances to be together and get to know each other. And I also wanted to remind anyone who has little kids who are normally maybe in godly play right now, or some of them are up front, that next Sunday is a first Sunday. And so we'll have some special things going on for that Sunday. But everyone is welcome at the 10 o'clock. We talked about a lot of celebrations. Have any been at it? We had one birthday that was announced at the 8 o'clock service. Are there any other celebrations or milestones that you'd like to share with the parish? I see some people looking at each other. Yes?
My sister just graduated yesterday from college.
Your sister just graduated. That's wonderful. Congratulations. Yes? You have a birthday on Thursday, and so does Sheila Lewis. So now we know two people who have a birthday that day. Happy birthday. Yeah. Oh, I missed Hannah. Sorry. Oh! Oliver, for those who couldn't hear, Oliver, who is often here playing the organ for us, just got engaged. So, very exciting. Well, let us turn to, I think it's page 5, for our celebrations and milestones. We say this prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And just a brief word about communion, although most of you know how we do that now. We have two stations up front. One is where we intinct the host into the wine and hand that to you. The other is where the host is separate from the communion cup. And you get to choose when you come forward which side you would like to be on, and then go back around the appropriate side aisle. And all are welcome to receive communion, regardless of age or denomination. If you can't come forward, let one of the ushers know, and we will try to come back to you to give you communion. And we also have gluten-free hosts. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
To sum, 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 to s
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All thanks and praise are yours at all times and in all places, our true and loving God. Through Jesus Christ, your eternal word, the wisdom from on high by whom you created all things. You laid the foundations of the world and enclosed the sea when it burst out from the womb. You brought forth all creatures of the earth and gave breath to humankind. Wondrous are you, Holy One of blessing. All you create is a sign of hope for our journey. And so as the morning stars sing your praises, we join the heavenly beings and all creation as we shout with joy. Honor are yours, Creator of all. Your word has never been silent. You called a people to yourself as a light to the nations. You delivered them from bondage and led them to a land of promise. Of your grace, you gave Jesus to be human, to share our life, to proclaim the coming of your holy reign, and to give himself for us, a fragrant offering. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, you have freed us from sin, brought us into your life, reconciled us to you, and restored us to the glory you intend for us. We thank you that on the night before he died for us, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, said the blessing, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so, remembering all that was done for us, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, and ascension, longing for Christ's coming in glory, and presenting to you these gifts your earth has formed and human hands have made, we acclaim you, O Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Christ Jesus, come in glory. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be to us the body and blood of your Christ. Grant that we, burning with your Spirit's power, may be a people of hope, justice, and love. Giver of life, draw us together in the body of Christ, and in the fullness of time, gather us with Blessed Martin and all your saints into the joy of our true eternal home. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we worship you, our God and Creator, in voices of unending praise. Blessed are you, now and forever. Amen. First in Spanish and then in English, we now pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Please rise. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.